Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a social media guru who has a heart for animal rescue. I will tell you all about her and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet parent, an entrepreneur. She is a vet front office admin. She's a coffee lover, a tea drinker, a geek, she says. She's a world traveler that used to travel as a certified judge for Magic, The Gathering. She's from Albany, Georgia. She is wife to a former rapper known as King David, who, by the way, does not use social media, which you'll find ironic as we go through this show. She is mom to a bunny rabbit named Prince Houdini Bunny Rabbit Rockwood. She is Scarlett Rockwood, and she is the force behind at Rescue Rabbit Life and her own marketing firm that she works with pet professionals in. I am so excited to welcome you, Scarlett. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. I love that you and I met at the NAPS conference. We both hit it off. We were both cheering each other on during our presentations. I think that you have such a gift for social media, which is why, you know, you're here today to teach us, help us. But before we get into all that, I want to introduce our drinking game. So anybody participating in our drinking game today, anytime you hear this word.
The secret word is fur.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying. Could be non-alcoholic, alcoholic, whatever it is. But if you are drinking, please never drink and drive and always drink responsibly. Wherever it is you're joining us from, make sure you're of age. I'm not trying to influence minors to be drinking, all right? Don't put that on me. So what are you joining us with today, Scarlett?
I have a coffee that my husband would say it's laughable to call coffee because it's out of 16 ounces, about 4 of it is French vanilla creamer.
I love when I have coffee drinkers on the show because I like to ask you what it is you put in your coffee. So what's your recipe?
I mean, that's it. I use specifically a French vanilla flavored coffee and then just whatever your favorite brand of creamer is, just French vanilla creamer, but an obscene amount.
Obscene amount of French vanilla creamer. And it's just like drip coffee, American coffee, as I would call it.
Yeah. It's probably a Colombian or something like that. But I have a couple of brands I really like. I think it's called Magnolia Vanilla or something like that from... Goodness, now I'm blanking on the brand, but it's Grounds and Hounds. Madagascar vanilla is the flavor I like from them. But, you know, in a pinch, if you don't want to wait on shipping or if you're on a budget, like Walmart's Great Value French vanilla coffee is also good.
Ooh, that's good to know. I do love coffee and I have not had my coffee yet today. I've been struggling with a sore throat, so I had tea. And honestly, as much as I like tea, it doesn't hit the same as coffee. It just doesn't, for me, at least.
Tea is the reading, not the energy drink.
Exactly. Tea is the wind down at the end of the day for me. Today, I'm actually going to be teaching a yoga class this evening, so I had to keep it non-alcoholic. And so I went with something kind of local. This is a Mexican canned juice called Humex, and it's strawberry nectar, and it's delicious. So cheers. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
No, I'm so excited for us to get back together and chat about something that we both use in our day-to-day life. You and I both help pet businesses put themselves out there on social media, online. And I want to get to know you and how you view social media and the internet. But first, I want us to play a game so that we can all talk about social media with specifics. So this is called Social Stats, and it's a true and false game where I'm going to give you some stats I found on socialsprout.com about social media usage, both in the U.S. and abroad. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, so you may not know the exact details of this. This is very specific statistics as far as usage, but they are 2024 related. So even if we don't know the answers, at least we'll learn. I think it's pretty impressive what social media has accomplished in a very short time, really, if you think about it. So our first question is, there are estimated to be 5.17 billion total social media users worldwide. True or false?
I'm going to say true. That sounds about right.
That is true. The average person uses 4.7 different social networks per month. True or false?
I'm going to say true, but it actually sounds low.
Ah, smart girl. It is actually 6.7. And I was like, 6.7. So I was trying to think what qualifies. And from my understanding, from 6.7 could be Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, WhatsApp, TikTok, Snapchat, Telegram, Pinterest, Reddit, Skype. Those are just a few of the ones that could be in that 6.7. So you're right. 4.7 is just too low when you add.
Yeah, they're a little liberal with what I consider a social media network, because like Reddit is more like a traditional forum, and WhatsApp and Skype are really more chat networks than social media. So that skews it a little high.
And that's the thing. I never thought of WhatsApp as a social media network either. Telegram, I'm surprised, has 500 million users. And I'm surprised Skype is still being used, considering we have FaceTime and things like that now. But obviously, that's a global usage. So, okay, next one. The amount of time internet users spend on social media is about 143 minutes per day.
All right, let me do simple math in my brain, which is impossible. A little over 2 hours at least. Yeah,
that is true. All right, next one. TikTok is the fastest growing platform with a staggering 100% user growth rate between 2020 and 2022. And between quarter three 2022 and quarter three 2023, TikTok's monthly active users grew 13%. Do those sound about right to you?
I mean, the very first statement of it being the fastest growing is definitely true. And it's also the easiest to get the most reach on because they're completely indiscriminate with who they show your content to.
All right. So yeah, it is true. It's grown so fast. 100% growth between 2020 and 2022. 100% growth. That's crazy. All right. Next one. The number of social media users worldwide declined from January 2023 to January 2024.
See, that one's tricky because if so, it would probably be the first time in a very long time that it did decline. But it's also where things are opening back up. There was such a big boom after COVID of internet use in general. I'm going to say that that's possible.
You're right. You're right on track. It's never not grown. So that is another year where it grew. But you're right. Things were opening up, but still people went from the couch to the bar, but they're still using their social media.
Wow.
All right. Next one. Facebook is the most used platform by marketers worldwide.
I don't believe that.
According to this, it is. Which one do you think is its runner-up?
I mean, I would say either Instagram or TikTok is what I would expect. But I think the reason for that stat is that people believe you need to be on Facebook even if it's not your primary platform, the same way you need a website and you need a phone number. Like, if you're not on Facebook, you're not open.
Got it. Okay, so it says marketers. I'm assuming that it's like marketing teams, not necessarily individuals. But the next one is Instagram. It's so 89% of marketers use Facebook and 80% of marketers use Instagram. The next one, 27.4% of U.S. Instagram users are between 25 and 34 years old. So a little over 25% of Instagram users are between 25 and 35 years old in the U.S.
That's a tough one because on one hand, I want to say that it feels like you should be higher. But on the other hand, like the top number for the age range of people who are using it is getting much bigger. People who are older are continuing to use Instagram, starting to get into it. So yeah, let's go for yes.
It is true. That is absolutely true. There are more than 1 billion members across 200 countries on LinkedIn.
Definitely
1
more.
Billion.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes, you're right. Next one, 50% of weekly Pinterest users have found a new brand or product on the platform. True or false?
Did you say 50%?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that number should be higher.
You're so smart. It is 80%. 80% of Pinterest users find a new brand. And that's the regular Pinterest users that use it weekly. All right, last one. 53% of X users, formerly known as Twitter, use the platform to get the latest news. True or false?
That one's tough because that is like X and TikTok are probably the two platforms that I work with the least. I mean, it's definitely if the people who are the standard users, the standard like target audience of X are definitely there for like they want to get whatever's going on. They want to get like the live tweets while there's a sporting event going on. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot. I don't know if it's 53 or if it's higher, but
yes, it's true. And I actually expected it to be higher than 53 because I agree. The people who are on X, and I, like you, don't use X, they're there because they're like the ones who want it to be in the know. They want to know whether it's political or, you know, reality TV related. They want to get the latest news and they get it from X. Okay, so you're obviously, you know your stuff. You obviously are an expert at social media. How did you end up specifically working in the pet niche?
So I actually came about it, I feel like the opposite direction of how a lot of people that I know who do B2B for pet businesses came through. A lot of us started out as pet sitters or dog walkers and then became the web designer, the bookkeeper, whatever it was that they felt was missing from the services that were available to them. I came about it the other way around. My mom has been a web designer since 1999. So my first job was being her assistant when I was like 12 or 13. So I came into the marketing world before the pet world, really, even though I had, you know, have always had pets since I was like 5 and definitely always been a pet parent. But I worked with her web design agency. And I started my social media agency in 2015, but it was basically open to whoever I could get, right? So I think a lot of us start out that way. So I've worked with coffee shops and retailers and landscapers and doctors and grocery stores all over the map. And in 2020, I just so happened to get a client who was a pet supplement. And everything just kind of clicked in a way that it happened before. Like, oh, I'm finally in the target audience that I'm trying to talk to. And I care about the product. I believe it in a way that I never did before. I'm getting better results. I'm enjoying the work better because I'm finally like with my people. And so after working with them, I decided in July of 2020 to niche down and work with businesses specifically in the pet industry.
And that's when First Social was born?
Yes. Previously, it was Scar Social because Scar, short for Scarlet, came First Social.
Awesome. Okay. So what do you think pet parents, since you're the expert in trying to reach pet parents, what do you think pet parents tend to gravitate toward on social media when it comes to pets and like kind of living their love of pets online?
So the answer to that is that it depends on which pet parent, because everybody's going to gravitate towards something different. And every business is going to have a different target audience that have different cares and different priorities. So one pet parent may gravitate towards the organic, sustainable dog treats, whereas one pet parent may gravitate towards the gluten-free, allergen-free dog treats. Or, you know, they all have different needs and different priorities. So knowing who your ideal pet parent is is the first step. And for most of my clients, knowing that you're talking to pet parents and not pet owners is very important as well, because the pet owner to me is the guy whose dog lives outside and is like in a fenced in yard and he buys Gravy Train and like,
yes, he, girl,
his
preach.
Dog is not mistreated, but it is not a part of the family. So yes. Versus a pet parent who like, my dog is my baby and I'm going to get them a pup cup every time I go to Starbucks and, you know, whatever the specific priorities for that pet parent are. But because in the pet industry, it is almost never the right idea to compete on price. You need to reach people who care about more than price when it comes to your products and services.
Of course. Absolutely. You know, when it comes to our pets, just like when it comes to our kids, we will splurge on the good stuff, knowing that there's going to be payoff in their longevity, their health, their behavior, whatever it is, whatever problem we're trying to solve. Like you said, there are needs, how, what solutions we find for those. So when it comes to cat parent versus dog parent, do you see how they engage on social media being different? Because we here at Covered in Pet Hair specialize in dogs and cats. So how are they different when navigating, you know, the socials?
So one thing that they all have in common, whether it's dog, cat, rabbit, bird, one thing that almost all of us have in common is that we are very opinionated. And the more we are in line with that, hearing more, being willing to pay more, wanting quality, the more opinionated we are about what that, what quality means. So that's a way that we're all alike. But it ways that we're different is, you know, we all have different priorities in terms of what made us gravitate towards that type of pet in the first place. So I find that dog parents are usually, how can I put this, on a scale of my pet is my best friend and my pet tolerates my existence, dogs are over here, cats are somewhere in the middle, rabbits are way over here.
Okay.
And that is a very loving set of the rabbit mom thing. I find there's a very interesting, like, emotional connection that you have with each type of pet. And dogs, even just in my own personal experience, like, my dog is my buddy. My dog is my best friend. When I've had dogs, we go to the park together. You know, we go out to eat together. When I've had cats, my cat is my reading buddy. My cat is the one that I want to cuddle when I'm sad. My cat is the one that probably thinks they're better than me, and I'm okay with that. And my rabbit, if you're gonna love a rabbit, you have to be willing to believe that they love you back, even when they're being very bratty. Rabbits are not the right pet for somebody who, like, is very attached to how cuddly and happy to see you your pet is. You need to be someone who is, like, very in tune with the most subtle ways of communicating with your pets. And I think that people who are in tune with that subtlety with cats and dogs also make better pet parents as well, because you learn to speak their language rather than insisting that they learn to speak yours.
Absolutely.
And I think you find a lot more of that in the rabbit community as a whole when you're speaking specifically about people who have what we call house rabbits. People who have a rabbit in the hutch in a corner are in the pet owner category. In the pet parent category are the people who, like, my rabbit has their own X pen that takes up half a room, or my rabbit is free roam just like a cat would be. And we're also the ones who are like, what do you mean you fed your rabbit iceberg lettuce? How dare you? very opinionated. But I think that it's hard to say, because I've been a pet parent of dogs, cats, rabbits, birds, hamsters, mice, lizards, and I am the same person, and many people are that way as well, but we still connect to each animal in a different way. So it's very interesting to see, you know, when I have had a client who was specifically a cat store, and seeing how interacting with that and, you know, what they care about and what the priorities are there, how they can be similar and how they can be different from a dog focused store.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think pet parents are all looking for either entertainment, education, or solutions on social media, but what they share, what they interact with is very different. Like, I tend to perpetuate those, like, cats hate humans like jokes on social media, even though I don't believe that at all. Like, I know that I think cats make amazing pets. I think they give you, like you said, a ton of love, especially those cats that are like emotional support animals where they know exactly when you need them and they come purring on your lap. But like, those are the things that make me laugh on social. So I share a lot of that, like where the cat's like making like an angry face or whatever it is, like looking all pissed at the human. And then, you know, the dog ones, I honestly, it's harder to find funny stuff with dogs than it is with cats, just because of that like sarcastic trope of cats being like angry, mean, independent, aloof, whatever.
I do agree. The cats, definitely cat parents in general, there is more of like a tone of sarcasm in a lot of yes. audience there. And the rabbit world is, like I said, even further on the spectrum. There is a Facebook group I'm in called Rabbits Are Assholes.
You see?
It's just people who love their rabbits posting about terrible things their rabbits did, like chewed a hole in the door.
Right. Right.
Or,
yeah, exactly.
Or chewed their laptop cord or something like that. And it's like, that's just the level of humor that you find with that particular pet. So that's very interesting. Whereas with the dogs, it's more like, you know, behind every strong woman is a dog who follows her to the bathroom.
Right. The dogs always get the best edit. Like, they are the sweetest, happiest, most obedient of all the pets. They please us no matter what, which is not always true, which is why that whole dog shaming thing took off a few years ago, because then we finally saw that, okay, dogs are a man best friend, but they too could be assholes. Like, you know, that in their moments, they too, I know, I'm sorry, Kira, she looked up when I said that, my dog, but she, you know, they have their moments too. One of the biggest things for me is using social media for education. So do you actually think people are learning, even though they're maybe focusing on entertainment and humor? Does education make its way to the right person on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you've targeted who you want in your audience correctly, and you have set up not just education in general, but education about who you are as a business, to build that relationship of what are your core values so that you're attracting the right person who cares about that education. So, for example, using the cat client as an example, one of their core values is they don't believe in outdoor cats. You know,
right.
they don't believe that, you know, that is good cat parenting because it's dangerous out there. And having them go out there unsupervised means they could never come back one day. So that particular store has a very, very strong opinion about that. And they shared that very openly. So all the education about how to cat-proof your house, how to build a nice catio, things like that were resonating with the right person because they've attracted the person who shares that core value. And then, you know, if it's food, you know, if you have shared your core values on, you know, do you believe in raw food diet? Do you believe in this or that type of formula? You're attracting the right person so that when you educate on how to balance that diet, what products are safe, what products aren't, then you're getting the person who cares about that specific thing. And I have what I call the creator model for balancing what types of content you use. And one of those pieces, the A, is for authority, which is sharing educational content, sharing where you've been featured in the media. I'll be sharing this podcast, for example, on my social media. And that falls into the authority category, which is where I put a lot of educational content. And
yes.
There's a lot of people, they'll follow you because they like you, and then they'll stay because they get to know you and they trust you and they believe that what you say is something they can listen to and they care about the education.
Absolutely. You're so right. And I love to hear that because most of us, you know, the ones who speak to the pet parent, first of all, we are only speaking to the pet parent. The pet owner is not our person at all. But we also know that even pet parents with the best of intentions may have, you know, a room for improvement, just like I do as a pet parent. Every single day, strive to do better by my pets. So that's the people that I'm always trying to reach. For me, it's cats and dogs. For you, it's bunnies. You know, for all of us, we share a core value on rescues. And actually, when we come back from this break from our sponsors, we are actually going to talk more about your love of rescue and how you think rescues can leverage social media to get more pets adopted. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back with Scarlett Rockwood of First Social.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with Scarlett Rockwood, who is the founder of First Social. She is a social media guru that helps businesses get their name and core values and products out to the public using social media. And she has a heart for rescue, and she believes that rescues can leverage social media to get more pets adopted, to maybe increase donations, et cetera, et cetera. So Scarlett, if you are game, I would like to put you on the spot. I'm going to give you 1 minute on my handy dandy clock for a game I'm calling Rescuing Rescues. And I want you to just throw out some creative ways that rescues can use social media to promote the pets they're trying to get adopted. Do you think you're cool with doing that for us today?
Oh, I don't think I can stick to 1 minute, but I'll give it a try.
Ah, that's what I like to hear. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so the first thing you want to do is, the first thing that you're going to usually put out is that intake photo, right? Take some time to make it more appealing and get the personality of the dog to come out. I know you guys were short on time, but that photo of them inside the cage, inside the transport truck that brought them there, is not going to be their best face, right? Everyone, think about your driver's license photo, the thing that everybody hates, right? If you could take the time to take a better photo, you would. So give them that time, because the more, this is like their dating app photo, okay? So make sure that it's going to be as best, in as good of a light as it can be. And sometimes that's not on intake day. Sometimes that's after they've had a bath, after they've had a little bit of time to decompress. Take another photo and change out that intake day photo if you need to. Reach out and see if there's any photographers in your area that would like to volunteer time to come take photos of the pets, or even just give you advice on how to take better photos on your phone as one of the volunteers or rescue staff. And then when you write up that intake, don't just put, you know, estimated 2 years old, Catahoula, heartworm positive, must show proof of, you know, whatever. Like, give us a story. Tell us what their personality is. If you don't know where they came from, at least tell us, like, what was bringing them in like? How have they acted the first few days? Because usually most rescues wait a day or two to actually put out, just to make sure, like, the owner doesn't come to get them. Those first few days in the shelter, how have they been acting? What are the types of homes that you think they would fit well in? What is, if this cat is an asshole, make that funny. Like, write a story about Grumpy Cat and say, hey, this cat really needs to go to a home that has no kids and no other pets, where they can be the diva that they are. Taking the time to actually tell that pet story. Like I said, write it like it's a dating app. Don't just put it out there like it's a catalog listing that's going to be filed away. And then take the time, if you have it, beyond photos. Take videos of them playing in the yard. Or if it's a cat, take videos of them, you know, playing with some of the toys in your cat area. Show, you know, their movement, their personality, things like that. And then if you have any way to take them outside of the facility, whether it's putting the cat into a lobby area that looks more like, a lot of places, like, their lobby is a little bit more like a living room setup than it is like a shelter. Take them in there to get, you know, them to play with something, or take a dog out to the park, or take them to get a pup cup at Starbucks or something and get some videos that way. That will help a lot. And not just on social media, taking them out in public means people in your local area will see them. Get them a harness that says, adopt me.
Okay, you got to 3 minutes, but that is such a good idea. I love that harness, adopt me in your local area. That's such a good idea. And you know what? I've never seen it done. I remember I emceed an event ages ago, and it was for a rescue. And I had a friend's dog with me, and he was all cute in his bandana, and people thought, Oh, because of the context, right? We were at an adoption. We were at an event raising funds for a rescue. There were no adoptable pets there, but the fact that the person emceeing was holding this pet, he had a bandana. Everybody was like, is he up for adoption? He was adorable. Is he up for adoption? So I agree, like getting them front and center. If Winston had needed a mom, he would have had a mom that day. But he already had a fabulous mom. He wasn't in the market. But I agree, putting something on the pet that kind of calls attention, gives context, because if you just go down to Starbucks with an adoptable pet, but he looks like your pet, nobody's going to inquire. So I love that suggestion so much. So obviously pictures are everything, but for the person adopting, how much really emphasis should they put on the picture? What do you say, not to the rescue, but to the adopter? What should they be looking for that others might miss that could match them with an amazing pet?
So this is going to depend a lot on how well the rescue has done in writing up the pet's personality into their listing. If they have done that, take those cues and think about how that pet is going to fit into your life and what if you can provide them what they need. If you have a tiny apartment and you're looking for a Great Pyrenees, you may want to rethink whether that's the right fit for you. But if you got two cats and you're looking for a third, look at whether that cat is one that's likely to fit in well with your family, or if you're looking at a cat that's clearly going to need its own space and need to be the only cat. Taking those cues when the rescue gives them to you is very important. And sometimes the rescue kind of works a little bit too hard to spin things in a positive light. So read behind the lines if they're saying things like, you know, takes time to get to know people, or, you know, is a little greedy about food. Are you willing to deal with are you the right person who is equipped to care properly for a food guarding reactive dog?
Right.
And if you are, great. You might be the person for this dog in a way that nobody else is going to be. But if you're not, be willing to accept that and find one that you know you're not going to end up just taking back if it doesn't work out. And then if they're not great about it, if they are the one who basically just lists age and heartworm positive or negative and that's about it, and like estimated breed, then take the time to just go meet them. It may be best not to rely on the online listings and just go to the shelter and say, hey, you know, these are the things I'm looking for. Who do you think is a good match for me? And meet a few. I recommend meeting them before you just like never decide based on the social media picture or story, no matter how great it is. Always go meet them, because you never know if you're going to click, even if everything on paper says that you are or aren't. So I highly recommend that. And then there's a lot of places. This is actually how I got started working with my local shelter that do doggy dates. And the intention there is you take the dog out for the day. You go wherever you want to go, home, the park, Starbucks, the pet store, and just see what it's like to spend time with them. It gives you more than 5 minutes together. You can spend a few hours, or some places even let you do the dates for a few days to see how well of a fit you are. And then you can bring them back and decide whether, you know, this dog is for you or not. And I recommend doing that also if you're somebody who is not looking for a pet but would like to get involved. Like for me, Houdini is an only bunny, and he's made that very clear. He does not want any siblings. So my way of being able to, you know, get involved with helping dogs get adopted, since I can't foster, is doing those doggy days. Even though I have no intention of adopting the dog myself, I get them out, I get them into the local area, I, you know, get eyeballs on them. And we do have that harness, that yellow harness that says adopt me, and the lead says the same thing. And that is something where, you know, at least one of the pets I've taken out was adopted like that same day by someone that I met in town. And for those that don't necessarily meet that person that day, you want to take lots of pictures while you're out, take lots of videos and post them on social media, provide them to the rescue so that they can post them. And that way, a lot of rescues, like I said, don't have the time to get those good photos, those good videos, or to take them out of the shelter themselves. You can provide that as a volunteer by taking them out and getting them in an environment where they're going to show their personality better, where people are going to be able to, you know, see them in a different light. And you can subconsciously get them out of that shelter space and picture them in your backyard because you see them running in the park.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So yeah, that's definitely what I would recommend doing, whether you are looking to adopt the dog or you are just looking to help as someone who can't adopt right now.
Yes. And actually, speaking of people who cannot help right now, but want to do something specifically online, what can somebody who's just scrolling in the evening do to help their local shelter? Is it sharing? Is it commenting? Is it all of the above? Tell us how we can help.
Yeah, sharing is caring. If you have an audience that is local to that pet, then share with your audience, share with your friends, you know, hey, do I know anybody who needs, you know, who needs a cat or a dog or whatever the post is? And then also commenting also helps, because the more you comment on their posts, not only are you going to see more of them so you can share more of them, but other people are going to see more of them. That social media engagement that we work so hard to get for businesses is just as valuable for rescues, because the more engagement they get, the more people or other people are going to see it.
Exactly.
So yeah, the more you can engage with that content, like, share, comment, then that is going to help more people see that adoptable pet.
That is perfect. Okay, so, and if anybody's listening online and wants to engage your services, how would they go about doing that?
You can find me pretty much everywhere online at Scarlett Rockwood. If I have a social media page, that's what it's under on that channel. And then my website is scarlettrockwood.com.
Awesome. Well, I just want to propose a toast to you for sharing your knowledge with us. I've so enjoyed our conversation. I do think we all have a place where we can support local rescue and local businesses by just engaging with them online. So here's to you. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. And to our audience for joining us for these awesome conversations. Whether you're a pet pro or a pet parent or a hopeful pet parent, I hope you found this very, very helpful as well as entertaining. Here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers. To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on petliferadio.com.